Amen. Thank you, Chris, for that song. Praise the Lord for that. We are at a natural break in our Sunday morning series anyway, having just finished the historical books and getting ready to look into the poetical books. And it is appropriate, I think, because of the special day, that we bring an emphasis on a subject rather than on a text. The subject is the high calling of being a wife and mother. Let me say that again. The high calling of being a wife and mother. I think one of the things that is desperately needed today is an understanding by all of us that it is a calling from God to be a wife and mother. I heard many sermons in the early part of my Christian experience about the high calling of being in the ministry. I heard people emphasize the fact that it was the highest calling that a person could possibly receive. I really believe that the highest calling a person could possibly receive is the calling to be a wife and mother. It is a ministry as well. And I believe, personally, that being a wife and mother has more influence on people and therefore on society even than the ministry, as in preaching. Why do I say that? I say it because lives and character are shaped in the home. And the home is primarily that realm through which wives and mothers accomplish their task. Fundamentalism separated from evangelicalism, or evangelicalism separated from fundamentalism, over a generation. And one of the things that we lost when we pulled out was the contact with some good and godly people who were examples. It is a challenge to every lady who is here today to fill that gap. Have you noticed how many young people there are in our church? And our church is not nearly as young as it used to be. But it is incumbent, I believe, upon the ladies in this church to become a godly example. Most of the churches that people are in this morning have a far greater number of elderly ladies than our church does. We have some ladies that are mature in years. But do you understand what I'm saying here today? You ladies will become the example to your daughters and to the young wives of other families that will begin or will come to this church in the future. I always try to bring a message of encouragement on Mother's Day because I know the struggles and the difficulties that mothers are facing and the pressures that must be on you. And then, of course, there are those who are single and think, what am I doing here today? But I want you to understand that as we elevate this biblical calling that affects every single one of us, and all of us should do everything we possibly can to foster a renewed understanding, a revival of conviction about this high calling of being a wife and mother. We're going to look at a number of scriptures, but the one I want you to turn to first is Titus chapter 2, a passage of scripture that we've studied a number of times before. In the Sunday school series that we recently completed on biblical manhood and womanhood, that was just an introduction. Jim Berg told me about a book that was edited by John Piper and Wayne Grudem called Recovering Biblical Manhood and Biblical Womanhood. The subtitle was A Response to Evangelical Feminism. You may not be aware of this, but there is a strong movement within evangelicalism today to incorporate much of the thinking of unbelieving feminism. Formerly evangelical churches are now ordaining women to their pulpits. Role confusion is widespread in evangelicalism today. And this book was written as a series of essays in response to much of the wrong thinking that is going on in evangelicalism today. Our tendency is to ignore evangelicals because since we are right on the issue of separation, we assume they are wrong on everything. And I certainly don't mean to elevate them or to promote them in any way, but I am simply saying that just because we're right on that issue does not mean we're right on every other issue. And there are a number of problems that you and I see today. The error of feminism, of course, has caused a lack of distinction in the roles in the home. But the error that you and I, as fundamentalists, have to be careful about is the error of understanding the principles without applying them in practice. When it comes to this calling of being a wife and mother, what do these doctrines of the Bible that we so tenaciously defend tell us we are supposed to be doing with respect to that role? How is that going to help us be what we ought to be and do what we ought to do? The need of the hour is not only to recognize this calling, but for those whom God calls to surrender to it as a calling from the Lord. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." And that means that it is the responsibility of the preacher to preach things which produce spiritual health. Sound doctrine means health-producing doctrine. Health-producing teaching. Healthy teaching that produces health in the lives of the hearers. It's the responsibility of the preacher to preach things which cause people to be spiritually healthy. Verse 3 says, "The aged women, likewise, just like the men are to be sober, grave, and temperate, sound in faith and charity and patient, the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Father, help us this morning in the moments that we have together to understand the truths here about this high calling of being a wife and mother. And I pray, Lord, that we would present an ideal from the Word of God which can become a target toward which every woman here can aim. Lord, I pray that You would show us the pride of discouragement when we don't measure up and show us that we are more concerned perhaps sometimes about appearing to be doing right than we are learning to do right. And I pray that You would rebuke that pride and send a genuine humility to all of our hearts to realize that we cannot live up to Your ideal outside the power and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me this morning, Lord, to present these truths in a way that will be producing health in the lives of our people. Give me the power of Your Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have given an exposition of these verses on a number of occasions here from this pulpit, and it's not our purpose today to explain all the things that could be understood from looking at these verses. What I want you to leave this morning with is the idea that being a wife and mother is a calling from God. And if God has called you to be a wife and mother, then you should surrender to that calling as surely as I have surrendered to be a pastor, as surely as our missionaries have surrendered to go to a foreign field, as our teachers have surrendered to teach, as anyone else here has surrendered to the calling that God has given them. If God has called you into that role, then you must surrender to that role as a calling from God. You see, Romans 8:29 also applies to wives and mothers. God wants you to be Christ-like as a wife and mother. He wants you to surrender to His conforming you to His image. He wants you to picture some things in that role about Him. Psalm 40 and verse 8 does not just refer to our devotional life. It does not just refer to our singing of hymns. It refers to every response that we have to God's calling. It says, "I delight to do Thy will, O my God." And I wonder how many ladies here today have as the delight of their heart the doing of God's will as a wife and mother. We reject feminism as a concept, the idea that women somehow have been oppressed by Christianity, that the concepts of submission to authority and the headship of the man are archaic and unreasonable. We reject the thinking that holds to those views. And yet we have been infected by that thinking with a sort of prevalent sense of self-pity for the role that God has given us. Any pastor who feels sorry for himself because God has called him into the ministry is going to be a sorry pastor. If a man's going to preach with the power of God, and if he's going to administer the affairs of the church in such a way that the church can be blessed, that man has to rejoice in his calling. Would you not agree with that? And any woman, hear me, any woman who feels sorry for herself because God has called her to be a wife and mother is going to be a sorry wife and a sorry mother. That self-pity will become the focus that will keep her from doing what God has called her to do. If God has called you to do this, you must surrender. And when you surrender, there will be joy. You won't be perfect. You won't live up to the ideal in this life. But you can always strive for it. And your fulfillment in life will come from striving toward that goal and responding to that call. A wife needs to realize that she is responsible to God for being a wife. She is responsible to God for being a mother. The Bible says in Matthew 19:6, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Now we interpret that verse sometimes these days to mean, "What therefore I have gotten myself into, I am not allowed to get out of." That is not what that means. What God hath joined together. God makes them one flesh. To whom are we responsible to fulfill our roles in marriage? We're responsible to God. There is this prevalent thinking that I must fulfill my role in order to get my spouse to fulfill his or her role. That if I will be what I'm supposed to be, that will either enable or obligate my spouse to be what they're supposed to be. That is not the reason that we're to fulfill our roles in marriage. We are to fulfill our roles in marriage as an act of obedience to God. I've talked to a lot of people about this. I've talked to some of you about it individually. And I see a prevailing attitude that does not indicate a desire to be obedient to God, but a desire to do what we're told so we can get what we want. And that is not how we fulfill our calling in any role. If we only do what we're supposed to do in order to get what we want, that philosophy is rooted in the same work salvation theology that is going to take people to hell. We do what we do by the grace of God. And God calls us, and that calling is a privilege. And that's what I want you to see with me today. I hear ladies today saying, "Well, I just want to be all I was meant to be." And the emphasis in that sentence is on the all and not on the meant. What they mean is, "I just want to be all that I want to be." But what we ought to concentrate on is being all that God intended for us to be. Now, there's several simple thoughts that I want to give you. First, I want ladies here to see homemaking as a challenging career. We ask the question, do you work outside the home? We have ladies today who apologize just for being homemakers. The Bible presents to us the concept that homemaking is the highest possible career that a woman can fulfill. Now, some of you here say, "Oh boy, here we go. How long is this going to last? Let's get out of here." You've heard these messages before, but I wonder if you've ever considered the possibility that homemaking is a very challenging career. The older women in the church are charged here in Titus chapter 2 with the responsibility of helping the younger women understand this truth. Now, I know that I'm not one of the older women. Okay? So, pardon me, but I am preaching to the older women who will then teach the younger women. All right? It is the responsibility of the mature women in this church to teach the young women in this church that homemaking is a challenging career. Any career requires training and development. Do you think that a man should be in the ministry if he's not prepared to be in the ministry? Do you think he should stand up and preach if he doesn't know how to read? I know some who have, and they've been used of God. But do you think it's possible for a man to be too prepared to understand the Bible? I really don't think that's possible. In fact, the more serious an issue is, the more training and preparation is required. Suppose, for example, that you had to have brain surgery. And you were having a little conversational banter with your brain surgeon, and you said, well, how'd you get into neurosurgery anyway? He said, well, you know, I was in a revival meeting, and they were talking about all the people that were dying of brain disease, and I just felt burdened to go into medicine and become a brain surgeon. And I prayed about it, and I just decided that's what God wanted me to do. Yes, I see, but what about your training? And, well, I've just sort of been learning as I go along because I knew God had called me, and so I knew that God would lead me. So I just prayed about it. And you said, doctor, before I have this surgery, I'd like to pray about it. I'd like to find another doctor. Well, you don't want somebody operating on you in a situation like that if he's not trained, do you? You want somebody who knows what he's doing. Somebody says from time to time, I hear this here in the church, boy, that Brother Kirsten, he can play the trumpet. Boy, I wish I could play the trumpet like him. Really? You wish you had the amount of practice every day that he practices? So I thought he learned all that in school. Don't you realize he's still practicing? And when he stops practicing, he loses his edge? He works at it. That's why he's able to do that. Some people say, oh, I'd give anything to have kids like yours. I'd give my life to have kids like yours. My friend, that's exactly what it'll cost. It'll cost you everything. You've got to invest your life in training and development to fulfill the career of wife and mother, just like you would if you were in any other career. Whether we're talking about a computer analyst, whether we're talking about a doctor, whether we're talking about a carpenter, a mechanic, whatever it is, a person has to work at it in order to be good at it. If you do anything in here, anybody in here, if you do anything well, it's because you've worked at it and you continue to work at it. And yet somehow, the most important role in life, that of being a parent, particularly a mother, we assume that because people are biologically qualified, therefore they're qualified in every other area. That's like saying that anybody that knows how to cut with a scalpel has the right to be a doctor. You see, the training doesn't teach you how to cut people. It tells you how to cut them without hurting them, but to cut them in such a way that you can help them. And the training and the development that a woman needs to be a wife and mother enables her to do many of the things that do come naturally in a productive and effective and helpful way rather than a destructive way, you see. Webster says a homemaker is one who manages a household. Now that implies many, many things. Some see themselves as homemakers, and what they mean is they are cooks. Some see themselves as homemakers, and what they mean is they are house cleaners. Some see themselves as homemakers, and what they mean is they don't have a career. They don't have a job. They don't have any responsibility. They do what is necessary, or they do what the crisis demands, but there is not deliberate planning. This is a career. A manager of a home. And not crisis management. That means it's important. It is as important for a wife to plan her menus and budget her grocery money and maintain her food supply, it is as important for her to do that as it is for the husband to be a good steward of the resources of his employer. How long, ladies, would you expect your husband to be able to keep his job and get promoted and make more money to be the provider that you expect him to be if he was no more trained, no more developed, no better manager of his responsibilities at work than you are of your responsibilities at home? Maybe if you were, maybe if some of you husbands were as effective in your jobs as your wives are at managing the household, maybe you could be the provider that you ought to be. That's a two-edged sword. But do you see the comparison? The wife is as responsible for the career of the home as the husband is for his. And the Bible tells us that the wife's contribution to the family is priceless. Sometimes women say, well, I have to bring in an extra income. And I know that some of you do. I understand that. And whenever a wife works outside the home, she ought not work outside the home instead of being a homemaker. She ought to do it as a part of being a homemaker. You understand that? Proverbs 31 and verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? That word virtuous means strength. It means efficient. It means valuable. A valuable woman has a price that is above rubies. In other words, the right kind of wife and mother in the home is priceless. You cannot buy what a wife and mother can do. Now hear me. That doesn't mean you cannot buy what you as a wife and mother are doing. It means you cannot buy what a wife and mother is supposed to be doing. The ideal is the thing that is priceless, not necessarily the performance. So what I want you to see today is the ideal so that you can get a vision of what God wants you to be and do. Dorothy Morrison said, this is not a job for the slothful, unimaginative, and incapable woman. It has as much challenge and opportunity, as much success and failure, as much growth and expansion, as many perks and incentives as any corporate career. Being a wife and mother is what she was talking about. The reason that some women are so unfulfilled and frustrated in the role of wife and mother is because they don't know what it really is. They really don't understand what it's all about. It's like some fellow who sees a wealthy man who's built a successful career around his own talents and energies, and someone else who hasn't done what that man has done to get there looks at him and says, boy, I wish I had what he has. But if he knew what it took to get there, he wouldn't be willing to do it. So it is with ladies who say, well, you know, some women just have good children. Some women just have nice houses. Some women have husbands that are better providers. It's your responsibility as a lady to help your husband. Listen, a wife and mother fulfilling her biblical role is contributing more to her husband than she could contribute if she made twice as much as he did and gave it to him. You can't put a price on what a wife can do for a husband or what a mother can do for children when they are fulfilling their God-given biblical role. Homemaking is a challenging career. And if, ladies, if you will approach it like the career that some women out there are pursuing today, you will find the same fulfillment that you think is to be chased out there. There's another thing I want you to see. Homemaking is not only a challenging career. Homemaking is a divine assignment. In the last part of verse 5 of our text this morning, or in the middle of verse 5, it says here, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands and so on. Keepers at home. And that literally means workers at home or home workers. Your focus is to be on building a home. The husband cannot build the home as effectively as the wife can. He can build the house. He can furnish the house, but he can't build the home. That is uniquely the role of a wife and mother. Building a home. Why do you suppose the American society is unraveling in its very fabric? Because our homes are unraveling. And here we have elected officials all over this country who are trying to find more ways for women to have full-time daycare for their children so that they can go out and have a career or so that they can make money to try to build a home instead of promoting legislation which allows women to stay at home. I'm not saying you're a sinner if you're working outside the home. That's not my point at all today. I'm simply saying to you that the woman's focus and the woman's responsibility, and ladies, hear me, if you are a wife and mother, the thing which will be on the top of your list when you stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment will be how you fulfilled your role in building your home. Because that is your primary responsibility. That is your calling. A home. A homemaker. Are you making a home? Or are you just living there? What are you doing to make that home? That's the wife's assignment. Now, I know there's some here saying, boy, I'd give anything to do this. I wish I could get me a husband. Let me tell you something. Unsuccessful married people used to be unsuccessful single people. And if you are now a single person, you should not be concentrating on trying to be married. You should concentrate on trying to be successful in your relationship with the Lord. If you become the successful single person that God wants you to be, God may choose to allow you to become a successful married person. Everybody that I know personally who is unsuccessful in their marriage would also be unsuccessful as a single person. And what I mean by that is with respect to their spiritual lives. If you can't be what God has called you to be as a wife and mother, you probably weren't what God had called you to be as a single person either. So if you're single today, thank God that you've still got an opportunity to concentrate on your relationship with the Lord. And when you become successful at that, you won't really care whether you're married or not. You see? One of the primary aspects of building a home is to provide a place of refuge and a place of shelter. What do we call people today? What's the popular term? If they have no place to go, no place to turn, no place of refuge, no place to eat, no place to sleep, no place to call home. We call them homeless. You know what the problem with America is today? The vast majority of people that live in a house are homeless. They don't have a home to come to. And let me tell you something. It is not the schedule that keeps us from having homes. It's not the schedule. If we say, well, we're so busy. People are running here and they're running there. And they're doing all those things. Home is just the place where we all meet to try to coordinate our schedule. Listen, people have busy schedules because they're searching for what they cannot find at home. That is not what keeps them from having it at home. They are busy because it isn't there. Let's take an illustration. The common goal of the average man is success. And the common goal of the average woman is security. When I'm doing premarital counseling, I always ask that question. And I say, what's the most common goal that men have? And they'll always give me some form of the word success. And women will always give me some form of the word security. And what happens to marriages is they think they have the same goal. The man's going to be successful, the wife's going to be secure in his success, right? What they fail to understand is that those goals cross, but they're not really the same. Because in order for the man to be successful, he takes all kinds of financial risks, which causes the woman to feel insecure. And while she's clamoring for security, she's clinging to him, which keeps him from doing what he thinks he needs to do to be successful. So he feels like she's holding him back. She feels like he is not really providing for her because he's not there to be with her. And after a while, those goals begin to conflict with each other. And the very thing that drew them together leads them apart. You see how that works? So he does for her, to show her love, he does for her the same thing he's always done for himself. He buys her things. Because if he wants to feel successful, he has to have things, right? So he buys things. And after a while, instead of giving himself to her, he gives things to her. He can't pay for the things he's bought for himself, plus the things he's given to her to keep her off his back so he can go get the things he wants. So he puts her to work to help him pay for the things he gave her so she'll leave him alone. Is this the truth? Sure it is. And that's why people spend all of their time chasing after stuff instead of the relationship. Why does a man spend all his time at work? Because he doesn't want to go home. Why? Because he's a success at work. Nobody gives him any lip. Nobody disobeys him. He's in charge. He's got his responsibilities. He wants to go where he can feel successful. So he stays at work all the time. He finally comes home and the wife says, "How come you're never here?" And what does he say? "I'm doing it all for you." Right? And the same thing's true of the wife. Now, ladies, why don't they want to come home? Because they're looking for a place of security. They're looking for a place of refuge. You see, what happens is God gives the man the responsibility to provide. But when he cuts God out of the process, that business of me, I'm the provider, now all of a sudden it just becomes me, I'm supposed to strive for success. He gives to the wife the role of nurturing and providing security. But when she cuts God out of the process, all she's able to focus on is getting security for herself. So instead of the husband providing for the family, he wants to provide for himself. Instead of the wife giving security to the family, she demands security for herself. That's what's happened to this society today. And the reason people don't have home life is because they're searching for some place of refuge and for some place of shelter from all the torment and pain of life, and they don't think they can find it at home. Ladies, as a wife and mother, it is your responsibility to make sure that the first place people think of coming is home. Home. Peace. Quiet. Refuge. Shelter. And I'm not just talking about some cave out of the storm. I'm talking about a place that's pleasant to be. I mean, think about it. Have you ever considered the fact that you are going to answer to Christ at the judgment seat for your housekeeping? I mean, for the cleanliness of your home? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about the fact that you're going to answer to God someday for the way you plan your menus, the way you organize your cabinets, the way you maintain your schedule, the way you maintain order in your home? Have you ever thought about that? And some of you are saying, "This is discouraging. I can't handle any more of this." Well, get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on Christ and what He expects of you. Because if God commanded you to do it, He will enable you to do it. He will enable you to do it. You see? If you'll just see this as a calling from the Lord. It's a divine assignment. What a tremendous enablement a biblical wife is to her husband and her children. In Proverbs 31, verse 11 says, "The heart of the husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." The husband's not going to feel the need to constantly be going out and getting things of value to find his fulfillment. Now, yes, there are men today, regardless of how their wife behaves or how their wife treats them, they're going to chase the success syndrome. But this verse tells us here that the virtuous woman is priceless, and that her husband trusts her and depends on her absolutely and doesn't feel the need to constantly be getting more money in order to feel successful. Therefore, if a wife has a husband who is constantly chasing a career, there are some things that she can do to help him with that problem. And it doesn't mean she goes and gets a job and gets more money, because there will never be enough money. It means that she is so dependable, and he wants to be with her more than he wants to have that success. And that's part of the role. It's a divine assignment. Look at verse 23. "Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land." If you'll study through Proverbs 31, in fact, if you'll study through the whole Bible, you will not find the wife pressuring the husband to help with the housework. Now, I know we go off to the men's seminars and we talk to the men about helping the women and all that kind of thing. Men, I want to tell you what the most important thing is that you can do to help your wife, and that's be a godly man. Be a godly man. And be a man and fulfill a man's role
and help and teach and encourage your wife to fulfill her role. One lady says, everybody's for equal pay, but nobody's for doing the dishes. Not a man, not a woman. Nobody wants to do the dishes. And ladies, I understand that. I've done the dishes. I did them last night. But I want to tell you something. If you think that you somehow are an inferior person because you have to do the dishes, you ought to go to work with your husband sometime and see some of the things he has to do. We need to stop feeling sorry for ourselves because of the unpleasant aspects of our tasks. Every job has unpleasant things associated with it. Every job does. But he won't ever help me. You see what I'm saying? Sure, we're to help our wives. It doesn't hurt a man to change the diaper, do the dishes, and clean the house, run the vacuum cleaner. But let's come at this not from the standpoint of this feminism foolishness today that believes that somehow a woman is oppressed because she has unpleasant aspects associated with her task. So does the man. I've never asked my wife to come to work with me and counsel a couple that's about to get a divorce. You think that's fun? Men, have you ever asked your wife to go to work with you and do the more dirty and unpleasant aspects of your job? You see my point? I'm simply saying it's time for us to stop whining about the roles that God has given us. Let's be servants to each other, but first let's be servants to God. Homemaking is a divine assignment. When the wife invests her energy in being a keeper at home, and there's so much more that we could see here today, she'll find that energy being fulfilled. You remember the story of Mary and Martha? What's the interpretation you've heard? Why, the better woman was the one who was concentrating on her relationship with the Lord rather than the housework, right? The Lord didn't challenge Martha. He said, you're cumbered about with much serving. One thing is lacking. He didn't say, you shouldn't be doing those things, you should be doing this. He said, now look, those things are important and necessary and somebody's got to do them, but don't leave this out. Don't leave out your personal relationship with the Lord. That's got to be primary. But he didn't criticize her or correct her because she was preparing the meal. There's another thing I want you to see. Homemaking is a source of self-esteem. We have a whole industry that has grown up around this concept called self-esteem today. And people say, well, my problem is I just don't have enough self-esteem. Listen, there's nothing in the world that will give you the kind of self-esteem that you feel like you need than knowing that you do what you're supposed to do well. And when you understand what your role is and you work on it, that idea of virtue, remember what I said it means? It means strength. We see that same word in Proverbs 12:4 and in 31:29. It's translated various ways: activity, ability, valor, wealth, efficiency, endurance, capability, energy. All of those are words implied in this word, virtue. The value of her contribution, as we said, was without price. In fact, she even makes investments beyond that. She takes the resources that she has. She considers a field and buys it. She extends her husband's wealth by the contribution that she makes because she knows that they are a team working together. It speaks of the elegance of her home in verse 22 of Proverbs 31. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She's concerned about her appearance. Ladies, let me ask you a question. Do you only dress up and look nice when you're going out of the home? Or do you try to dress up and look nice while you're in the home? Father Knows Best. Remember that program? What was that other one with Donna Reed in it? The Donna Reed Show? You know what I'm talking about. I hate to use television as an illustration, but I'm talking about 30 years ago. You know what everybody that talks about those images today, you know how they talk about them? In mockery. In mockery. Let me tell you something. They were closer to the biblical idea than most fundamental Bible-believing Christian women. I'm serious. I'm serious. Women, you have no more right to wait for your husbands to make you into what God calls you to be then husbands have a right to wait for their wives to do their job for them. If God's given you a calling to be a wife and a mother, you ought to be more concerned about what your husband thinks of your appearance than any other person on the face of this earth. And how you look for your children than how you look for anybody else. What kind of hypocrisy do our children hold us responsible for when they see us placing more value on our appearance in front of our friends than our appearance at church, than our appearance at home? You see my point? Now, I'm not suggesting to you that you have to always go around dressed like you're dressed for church. But I'm saying there ought to be an emphasis there that is obvious in the home. And some of you here, bless your hearts, one of the reasons that you're having some of the problems that you have is because you have so devalued yourself in front of your family with your appearance and your behavior that they've lost respect for you. Maybe you would place more value on yourself if they had more respect for you, but you can't do anything about that. You can't do anything about what other people choose to do. You can only do something about what you choose to do. And I assure you, if you will be as responsible as you can be in that area, it will have an effect on others and the way they treat you and the way they respond to you. Her efforts are esteemed. While the husband's sitting in the gate, what are the people talking about? Verse 31 of Proverbs 31 says, "Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." Can you imagine? Here this man is, he's sitting in the gates, he's having counsel with all the others, and you know what everybody's talking about? They're bragging on his wife. That's an honor. It's an honor to her, but it's also an honor to him. It's an honor to the Lord, because she's a faithful wife. Homemaking is a source of self-esteem. Child-rearing, housekeeping, helping the husband. Let me ask you a question. Do you see those as a source of self-pity? Or do you see those as the greatest opportunity in the world? If you're feeling sorry for yourself, you're not the only one that's suffering. Your children are suffering, and your husband is suffering. The cause of Christ is suffering. Your church is suffering. You see, if God called you to do this and God enables you to do this, there's a reason for that. Quickly, I want you to see homemaking as a worthy service to the Lord. It is a worthy way of serving God. Bible women were most greatly concerned when they were barren. You don't see Bible women grieving over the fact that they had no career or that they couldn't be elected to office or that they couldn't have influence in the community. You see Bible women grieving over the fact that they didn't have any children. Pleading with the Lord so they could have children. And not just so they could have them for themselves, but so they could give them back to God. Listen, women in the Old Testament knew what Genesis 3:15 said. Every Jewish woman wanted to bear the Messiah. That would be the number one thing, to give birth to the Messiah. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Christian women today were motivated by a desire to give birth to somebody who would proclaim the Messiah? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if your highest vision in life was to have a child that would grow up and honor God with their lives? Somebody that you could give back to God? You see, most single people today aren't like the women of the Old Testament. They're not really grieving over not having a child that they can rear for the honor of God. They're grieved over not having a husband that can make them happy. Single women, let me ask you a question. Have you ever considered what a slap in the face it is to Jesus Christ to say, "I am not satisfied with you, I want a man"? Have you ever considered what an insult that is? Think about it. I'm not suggesting that everybody should remain single. I'm suggesting, as I have thus far a number of times, you should stop whining and start thanking God for the place He's put you in, for the role He's given you. Don't you agree? In Ephesians 5:22, the Bible says that serving God, serving the husband is the same as serving God. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Serving the husband is the same as serving God. That does not mean that the husband is God. Look, how do I serve God? I serve you. What's the difference? Every one of us serves God by serving somebody else. The wife's role is to serve the husband. That's how she serves the Lord. She serves the husband. She meets the needs of her children. She takes care of them. Psalm 127. Turn there for just a minute. We look at that so often. We sometimes miss exactly what it says. Lo, children, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. God gives you the reward, the blessing of providing children to you. Do you think of your children as a blessing? Somebody laughingly says, only when they're good. No. Your children are a gift from God. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Now what that literally says is, you have the opportunity, if your children are born when you're young, that's what that means. If your children that are born when you're young, you have the opportunity to shape them like arrows. What are arrows? They are things that are formed, that are shaped, that are prepared to send away. Every aspect of your thinking as you're rearing your children should be to release them into the service of God. Happy is the man. Now here's the emphasis. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. We put an emphasis on the full. The emphasis is not on the full. The emphasis is on the kind of arrow, the kind of child. If you have in your quiver arrows that you have shaped and formed and prepared and taught to serve God and help them develop their talents and taught them to be obedient and shown them how to be submissive to authority by your own example, if you have that kind of child, you're a happy person. And you know that's true. Now that's what the verse means, regardless of the fact that fundamentalism thinks that the verse is fulfilled by having 9 children. Right? You got to have a full quiver if you want to be obedient. No. You got to have straight arrows. Straight arrows. And you got to shoot them. Don't take that literally. Okay? You got to let them go. You see? Now, I know our time is gone, but folks, this is important. Listen. Final thing. Homemaking is a great opportunity. This is not drudgery. This is an opportunity. You have before you, ladies, one of the greatest opportunities in the world. Genesis 2:18 says that God made the woman to be a helper. I will make him an help meet for him. In other words, a helper corresponding to himself. Can I show you some of the other uses of that word in the Bible? You ladies say, well, that's it, you see. This Christianity thing, this submission business, this whole thing, I'm in second place. I don't get to rejoice. I don't get what the man has. Let me show you something. Just listen while I read. Psalm 40, verse 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. That word help, referring to God, is exactly the same word as Genesis 2:18. That's what God is to us. Let me show it to you again. In Hebrews 13 and verse 6, the New Testament equivalent of this same word. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You see? So I don't want to just be his helper. Really? How on earth are your children ever going to realize that God's our helper? Somebody's got to picture that. Somebody's got to show that. Somebody's got to see that. You take the average person in this world today to Ephesians chapter 5 and say, you know how much Christ loves you? Christ loves you as much as your father loves your mother. You know how we should respond to Christ? We should respond to Christ exactly the way your mama responds to your dad. If you say that to the average person today, they're not going to be greatly impressed. They're not going to learn very much about what we ought to be before the Lord. Because when they look at the home, they don't see that model. They don't see that pattern. Because people don't accept their God-given roles in the family as a high calling from God. Today's Mother's Day, so we're talking to mothers. It'll be Father's Day soon. This is a calling from God. You will answer to God for how you responded to that calling. It's a great, great opportunity.
this whole business of submission to authority is not innately oppressive. Jesus Christ Himself is submissive to authority. The Holy Spirit is submissive to authority. Teamwork is the key. Did you know that a team can accomplish more than the sum of the individual efforts? You think about it. If you see a ball team or a team of horses or anything that illustrates the idea of teamwork in your mind, when people are working together like a team, they can always accomplish more things than they could accomplish if they were just working together as individuals. The load of child rearing is too heavy for either to carry. And if you're trying to do it alone, for whatever circumstances God has placed you in, He'll compensate you. He'll pick up the other half. Don't you ever worry about that. Young people, you may have but one parent. You may not have any parents. You remember the promise, when my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. That's a promise from God. But if we have this 100-pound weight of child rearing, I can't pick up 50 and tell my wife, whenever you're ready to get your 50, I'll help you. No, the thing has to be done together. It's a team effort. And if one person's not carrying his load, the load doesn't get carried. Do you understand what I'm saying to you today? Being a wife and mother is a calling from God. Fulfilling the responsibility of a role, that's what we're talking about. Not being frustrated by replacing it with playing a role. You see how we counterfeit things? We substitute a childlike spirit for a childish act. We substitute fulfilling our God-given role with saying, I don't want to just play the role. Well, that's not what God says. This is your calling. And if God has called you to it, He will enable you to do it. And it's the most important thing you have to do. If you are a wife, being a wife is more important than anything else you can do. If you are a mother, being a wife and mother is more important than anything else that you can do. Now, husband, don't be the hindrance that keeps your wife from doing this. And wife, I'd like to invite you today to surrender to this calling. You've heard messages where people have stood up and talked about the ministry and asked people to surrender to the ministry. I'm doing the same thing with you today about being a wife and mother. Would you surrender? If you're a wife, God calls you to be a wife. If you're a mother, God calls you to be a mother. If you're not a wife and mother, God may still have called you to be. Your responsibility is not to just merely be biologically qualified, but to be biblically qualified by being the kind of person that you ought to be. Father, thank You for the patience of the people as we've considered these truths today. I pray, Lord, that we would fulfill our God-given roles, our responsibilities. Lord, I know there are some here who desperately want to do this but don't know how. There are others here who know to do more than they're doing. There may be some here today who've just never considered the fact that this is a calling from God. They felt like they trapped themselves into it by decisions they made when they were too immature to know better. There are some here who resent the role that You've given them in the Bible. They don't want to be a submissive wife. They don't want to be a diligent, hardworking mother. They don't want to train their children. They just want to let their children grow up however they do. God, convict hearts today and bring us to repentance. And I pray that mothers here, with the support of their husbands, would surrender to this calling. In Jesus' name, amen. We're not going to take a long time for the invitation this morning. You'll just look this way.